Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We thought we would start a new series. So we had the Yamas in Yamas that we did, and we just finished. So if you haven't watched those, go ahead and watch them. They're pretty, I'd say, interesting guides in yoga, and just I guess things to live by. So we had those, which are 10, and now we're looking to start the chakra series, which we're going to explain what chakras are. But there's 7 of them in yoga, so we're going to start with the first one, which is the root chakra. And yeah, we'll have a series on this one too. So Monica, maybe you want to talk a bit about what chakras are, and what this first chakra means. And why we have the chakras in yoga.
Well, we have them because we work with energy in yoga, and they are chakras are basically, so chakra means wheel, right? So they are energy centers. And the principle by which chakras function is the communicating vessels. So this is very interesting because the chakras are our energy centers and energy flows in excess in a specific area at some point. Therefore, we lack energy in other areas at the same point. So the point is that we need to practice yoga to balance our chakras and to balance our entire being and existence in the universe. So we do yoga, we practice yoga for balance, generally speaking, but also to balance the chakras, because it is only then that we will achieve balance and we will be one with the universe, one with ourselves. So we speak about Muladhara. Mula means root and Dhara means flux. So that's the first chakra. Metaphorically, it's represented by a lotus with 4 petals. And the color dark pink or dark red, it's located at the base of the spine. So this is not to say that they are within or inside the body, but right next to it. So it's near the tailbone, if you will. That's pretty much, they say this is where this energy center is located. And it is associated with the earth element. It's all about grounding and stability. Indeed, it's traditionally represented by the color red, signaling vitality and force, right? And grounding, that's what it's all about. And it's also said to be, Muladhara is said to be the energy center, the base from which the 3 main nadis are the energy channels, right, through which energy flows within our body. So this is the center from which the 3 main nadis emerge, the Ida, the Pingala, and the Shushumna. And all together, they form the Kundalini Shakti, which is a supreme manifestation of energy in our body. So it has its abode, so to put it, in there, in the Muladhara chakra. So as we said, it represents stability, security, and grounding. And this translates as what? As feeling very stable, very safe, very secure, very, how to put it, it's all about protection. And it governs all that is connected with the gross layer of the human being, right? The primary instincts. So the cool part about chakras is that each of us as human beings are at the level of one of them in terms of spiritual evolution. A lot of us are at the level of Muladhara chakra. We care about grounding. We care about feeling safe, secure. We care about having our primary needs met. So the person who have this chakra very well balanced, the energy flows there properly, right? The persons at this point are those who are, who have vitality, persons who are loyal, devoted, stable, they're not interested in evolving into higher dimensions, right, towards higher chakras. Persons at this level are very slow, they're patient, they're trustworthy, as in reliable, right? And also at the same time, they are very unrefined, coarse, if you will, primary, right? So like, for instance, if you think about bodybuilding, right? A person who performs or who is interested in bodybuilding, who is interested in muscle hypertrophy, or, that very heavy, persistent, grounded, earthy level of manifestation. So, of course, as I mentioned before, the communicating vessels, right? So the point is to have energy flowing in the same quantity, in the same way, in the same manner throughout all of the chakras. And therefore, at times, we have a chakra that's well-balanced or that's disbalanced, right? Or it doesn't have the proper level of energy located in that spot. So the person whose Muladhara is unbalanced, they are said to be paranoid a bit. They like, how to put it, they lack self-confidence. And when they're afraid, they react like a cornered beast, animal, right? So it's all about grit, right? Teeth and nails and reacting in a very primary manner. When people lack energy in the Muladhara chakra, they're also said to have to be greedy, and they're all about self-preservation and self-protection. So they need to feel safe, secure, grounded, because that's what the Muladhara is all about.
Yeah, and
so
I would imagine.
Look at it.
Yeah, and I would imagine they would also be like fearful, right? And anxious, and just maybe depressed or unmotivated, or kind of negative and things like that, right? Because if we just do the opposite of what you just said, balance this, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if we think in yoga about the symbols, the personalities, the deities that are represented in yoga scriptures or yoga ancient texts, we think of Ganesha, the elephant god, right? So he's very round, right, and heavy and stable, and it is the utter representation of Muladhara chakra energy, I would say. Because elephants, generally speaking, in most cultures, symbolize prosperity. I have enough money, I have enough safety, I can thrive, I have my very basic needs met, right? So that's what the elephant symbolizes. So, safety, surviving, removing obstacles on my path to prosperity and to safety and to, to grounding. One of the other important things when we speak about these energy centers called chakras are their respective mantras. So mantra is a sound that we repeat so as to balance a specific chakra. And in the case of Muladhara, this is Lam, L-A-M, L-A-M. So it's Lam, and it can help activate and balance this energy center. Of course, there are a lot of yoga practices that can help activate and balance the Muladhara chakra. One of them is reciting the mantra Lam during meditation. We actually have yoga asanas, postures, right, through which we can feel more grounded and we can balance this chakra. So it's the physical aspect, the emotional or spiritual aspect. Like, for instance, lacking energy in the Muladhara chakra translates as not having our basic needs met, right? So we lack food, shelter, safety, we feel stranded, we feel not grounded, we feel disconnected. So of course, when it's imbalanced, as you mentioned, because you mentioned anxiety, right? When it's imbalanced, we feel anxious, we feel fearful, and also completely disconnected from reality. We live in our own world, as they put it. But when it comes to physicality, you know, because this is at a more subtle level, but when it comes to the more concrete level, when it comes to actual the actual body, Muladhara imbalances translate as having issues with our legs, our feet, and our lower back. Our lower back, because this is the spot where Muladhara is located. And then the legs and the feet, because they are the ones that keep us grounded. Right? So it's only logical. So we can speculate that whenever we have issues with the feet, legs, lower back, it might have to do with the Muladhara imbalance. And then we need to look out for, we need to search methods for methods of regaining this balance. Right. So that's how the story goes.
And I would imagine that then one of the ways to balance it is to, you know, not only the yoga poses, but like movement or walking or stuff like that, right? Because you involve your feet and legs for that. So I imagine that's one of the several ways you can balance it, right? Different movement. I would imagine even outside yoga, there's probably other movement you can do for that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, since the connection with Mother Nature is something that we need to keep and maintain and have, you know, consider at all times, balancing the Muladhara Energy Center is all about feeling grounded. So think about the average urban person, right? We feel we live in blocks of flats, high floors, concrete floors. We're never barefoot, right? We're always clothed, and you know, we wear shoes at all times. So the point is going back to nature and reconnected with sand, earth, ground, grass, wood, forest, whatever brings us the feeling of a solid concrete anchor where we can feel, with which we can feel as one. So I think this is what grounding means, right? So if I think about one of our previous episodes or several of them, we were talking about yoga in nature or practicing yoga outside. It's super important to be barefoot as much as possible. You know, I've been telling you and probably our viewers in the podcast that for several years I've been working from home. And now I have this serious at the same, it's serious, but at the same time, it's ridiculous issue where I have difficulty wearing shoes because I've been working from home barefoot and then teaching yoga barefoot, obviously. So now and whenever I need to go to the office, it's like I have 10 or 12 hours a day wearing shoes, right? So that's weird. So my feet need to adjust. So it seems ridiculous, but it's also, you know, it's an issue. We need to go back to nature and be barefoot as much as possible. So, you know, if you have some grass or some sand or whatever kind of spot you can be barefoot in, just use it to feel more grounded. So, that's how we should be looking at it. But, and also yoga practice helps us a lot. Asana practice, the postures, right? They activate the Muladhara chakra, some of them. So if you think of mountain pose or Tadasana, you know, it's a basic standing pose that promotes grounding and stability. And then we have Virabhadrasana 1, Warrior 1. It enhances strength, you know, helping us grounding the energy. Or if we think about the classical child's pose, right? Balasana, it's very calming. It soothes us. You know, it's soothing and it connects us with the earth, promoting a sense of security. There are also other layers of yoga that we can help, through which we can help balance the Muladhara chakra. And one of them is pranayama, because we can use several breathing techniques to feel more grounded. So deep, slow breathing is known to calm the nervous system and ground our energy. So like, for instance, if we, you know, and I know that's one of your favorites, if I remember correctly, it's Nadi Shodhana, the alternate nostril breathing technique. That's just
I think it was, yes. I don't It's for sure the skull shining breath that I like, but I think this one was amongst probably on the second place. I was thinking though, and I think that is, to your point, calming for sure. I was thinking at just the yoga poses. I guess even more like what poses that use your legs would also be good, like chair pose, maybe tree pose, I'm thinking, right? Even squats,
absolutely.
yogic squats, whatever, right? Things
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
build the strength in the legs, I guess.
Exactly, because if you have strong legs, you have a solid base, right? So you
Right.
feel really not only grounded but also safe and secure and stable. Yeah, so that's good. Also, we balance the Muladhara chakra by consuming grounding foods. Now, like root vegetables are deep in the ground, right? So, if we think of potatoes, carrots, beets, or protein-rich foods like beans and nuts, and of course also red-colored foods, because this is something that connects us with the Muladhara, energy. Tomatoes or strawberries or red beans, as previously mentioned. So something along those lines. So I think by incorporating these simple mindfulness practices as well, such as a complete body scan. So like if I think of my Shavasana moments when I teach a yoga class, I guide the students at the end in Shavasana, and I tell them to simply do a body scan, right, from toes up until the crown of the head, or the other way around, from the top of the head downwards. So a body scan helps us be in the moment, be present, be grounded. This is the point, right? And also it's about focusing on the breath, on staying present. I always like to come back to my breath during my busy work days. So if I feel disconnected and lacking energy or focus, I always come back to my breath. It's honestly the one thing that helps me stay grounded and how to put it, function and deliver of what's expected of me in life or at work. So yeah, we can choose, there's so many things out there that we can think of and practice for a deeper sense of security and grounding. So that's what Muladhara Chakra is about, I'd say.
And I think you were mentioning earlier the mantra, right? Lam, or the sound. But it's also like I think other ways through sound to balance it, like maybe sound bowls or stuff like that. I remember seeing that, I think, somewhere for the chakra, in general for the chakras.
Back in my when I did my first yoga teacher training course, the teacher there had this very special way of teaching meditation, and she taught us music meditation. And we used to listen to tunes that were, how to put it, whose sounds were supposed to revive and balance very specific chakras. And Muladhara, or how to put it, music meditation tunes or songs that are supposed to balance or rebalance your Muladhara chakra are very earthy, gross, loud. Think of the bass, think of a bass, or think of the beat of the drum. So that's how I remember those tunes to be. It's said that if your Muladhara chakra is disbalanced, you cannot stand very deep, low bass sounds. You can't stand, they annoy you, they trigger something that's not good, they make you very nervous and anxious. And it's the same for the music that is that represents Svadhisthana, and this will be our next episode, of course. That's jazz. Jazz, if you think of jazz is very erratic, it's very improvised, it's very chaotic, right? Or at least some types of jazz are like that. So jazz is a disaster for the Svadhisthana chakra, who is a bit of a bit higher up. And it messes up that energy level. So yeah, that's interesting. So moving back to Muladhara, because this is the topic for today. Yeah, it's loud and gross and low as sounds.
Yeah, and I would say jazz is also very soothing though. I listen to jazz when, you know, I just want to relax or kind of focus, because it's a music, it's just in the background. So it kind of just relaxes me not to focus.
Yeah, it
almost.
Depends what kind of jazz is it. I call the one you're describing now, I call it elevator music.
Okay.
Because it's relaxing, and it's what's the word? Ambient music, I think.
Right. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But for Muladhara, it's I think drum beats.
Mm-hmm.
So very.
Yeah, and I don't know that I like those too much. So maybe I have a problem with the root chakra. But anyway, that's a way to figure it out. Hey, do you like bass sounds? No. Okay, maybe.
No,
you have
I
a
think
problem there.
It would be too superficial, right? So there are several things that
sure.
tell us that we have a Muladhara chakra that's disbalanced. So, you know, you can tell, but you need to correlate several layers of it. Also, if you have a serious yoga practice and you have an interest in spirituality and you have done a lot of studying and reading about yoga, you would know. Practicing yoga is supposed to balance the chakras. If you think of a yoga class, of an asana practice, it ranges from grounding up to, you know, higher up to Sahasrara chakra, which is here above our head. So the purpose of yoga is to balance us. So by practicing yoga asana and other yoga techniques, we are merely distributing coherently, cohesively, equally that energy. And if we agree that the chakras energy ranges at the communicating vessels, if it functions by the communicating vessels principle, by practicing yoga, we're just trying to balance that and not have spikes of energy or disbalance. So that's all there is to it, honestly. So
Yeah, so I think that's our first chakra, right? And yeah, as we said, there's six more, so stay tuned for those. And we'll see if we have a favorite. I think I have a favorite, but we'll let you know later.
Stay tuned to find out which one that is.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't know, Monica, if you have a favorite, but we'll find that out too.
Episode. Yeah, I don't think it's much of a favorite. I mean, it's favorite in the sense that we are interested to get to that level. 90% of the world population are at the level of the Svadhisthana chakra. But now I'm getting into the, you know, into our future episodes. so each of us are at a specific level. Yeah, but what's let's see what that is.
Sure. Sure. Okay. That's us for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time with a new episode. Bye.